Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
Hey.
Okay. What you got for me?
Well, right here, you know.
What you got for me?
That's where we're right here. This is airy and just fun.
Okay. What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's show. You got karaoke by Mr. Breedwell.
I had to have a little bit of fun. You were moving studio the whole weekend.
I was. Moving studios. We're semi-set up in the new office, new studio. If you're new to the show, welcome in. Today is... what is it? I was going to say January. It's February 22nd. February 22nd. We got, I wish we had like some big, exciting, headlining news.
That's a plain Jane day. But it's okay because I still got a little bit of markets.
Updates for you for sure. We've got some, definitely got some updates in terms of what's going on in the markets. Mm-hmm. What's going on with the... Biden $1.9 trillion stimulus plan.
Yep.
We've got some Bitcoin updates. We got the Bitcoin bear over here. Usually he's bullish on everything, right, but here. He ain't bullish on Bitcoin. And I was like, dude, since you've been saying it's not going to do much, it's been doing a whole lot of shit. So we're going to be talking about that today.
Same.
We've got some updates in terms of what's going on in the market for real estate and just trends. And really what realtors and people that are buying right now are seeing across the country. If you're in the, you know, at least train of thought that you're looking to acquire real estate assets this year, what are some of the things that, as you know about these trends, you can use them to your advantage to accomplish what goals you're looking to accomplish? Mm-hmm. What else we got in here? We've got some updates on, of course, my favorite politician on the planet, Gavin Newsom. And one particular person... has joined the fight for a big person, has joined the fight for helping get him out of California. And we got some potential whispers of Trump starting his own party. So with that being said, 2021 for sure. With that said, if you guys are new to the show, welcome in. We talk all things mindset, money, and motivation on the Millionaire Mindcast to help you on your wealth building journey, in particular on Wednesdays. We love to talk about market updates. What's going on in real estate, mainly what's going on in your world, with stocks, bonds, the financial markets. And if you guys are new to the show, be sure to hit that subscribe button. We also post these on YouTube, so head over, subscribe to the YouTube channel. All we ask is that if you get any value from these shows, leave us a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this on. If you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a comment down below. Also, don't forget to take advantage of all the free resources that we have available to you guys.
Tons of them.
Our listeners. You can head over to therichlifestore.com to get some of our swag, the Rich Life Planner, goal setting, productivity stuff. But also, if you go down in the show description or at themillionairemindcast.com show notes, you can see all of the different things that we make available to you guys. Most importantly, what I would highlight is the free financial x-ray for all of you in terms of what does your investment portfolio look like? Having Ryan and his team go through that with a fine-tooth comb, making sure that those are aligned with your goals, that you're not getting overfeed. That's really what we see most. And then if you're not taking advantage of life insurance yet, head over to becomethebank.info, set up a call with Ryan. That is one of the, I mean, how would you describe that in terms of
it's just
a variable in a sound investment portfolio? You know, what does that look like? How important is it?
When you're looking to take your investing game to the next level, that asset class is normally not used by a lot of people, but the people that use it are normally wealthy or making moves in the real estate world.
Yep.
So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, it can be that chip to do so. I know that I use it for myself. I know that you use it for yourself. I know a lot of the people that we know that are making big moves use it for themselves. So set up a call with me. I'll go over it with you. We go over numbers, concept, funding, and all that stuff. And it's no cost, no obligation. So
yep,
take the opportunity to learn.
Awesome. So with that being said, you know, we've got some stuff to jump into today. But I think first and foremost, we've been talking about Bitcoin for quite some time
I
now.
I got to bear my cross.
You got to bear your cross, big boy. And so over, this past weekend, Bitcoin hits $1 trillion in market value as
like
cryptos.
58,000 a coin or something like that.
I think it was I don't know where the peak was at, but I know it was over, I think, 55.
Mm-hmm. 58.
And today we're at what?
58 and some change. I haven't checked.
Today it's at 58?
Oh, no. It's at 52. Back down to like 52, 51.
Let me pull this up.
So
our favorite Webull app. So let's see here.
I'm going to say 52.1.
It's about 53.5 right now.
Oh, 53.5. There you go. 53.5. So again, here, let's point out all the areas I've been not wrong, but have gone against what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The price keeps going up, but that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily wrong. It just means that the price keeps going up. I would argue that, you know, everybody in 2007 that said the housing market wasn't going to go down said the exact same thing about the housing market. And the prices did continue to go up until they didn't. And then it was a massive crash. That's what I'm predicting will happen with Bitcoin. And I'm pretty confident that it will happen.
Like when you say massive crash, you're talking like 53 goes back down to 3 again?
I think we'll be back down into the single digit.
Below numbers. 10, sub 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When?
I don't know. Once regulators decide to regulate it, which Janet Yellen is not a fan of Bitcoin, if you guys didn't know, and she's pretty much in charge of all the money in the United States. A lot of the European central bankers and our central bankers are not fans of it. Do not get, don't get tricked by investment companies putting money into it.
Right. BlackRock came out this week and said that they're dabbling in it.
That's a big deal, but I promise you, $1 billion is like nothing to a company that has over $10 trillion in assets. That is literally pocket change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a serious investment. And they have to, they always, if you lined up the amount of losses that BlackRock took a year to their wins, it's probably 10 losses to one win. Mm-hmm. They invest in stuff all the time that goes nowhere. They have to.
Yeah, but why would they be exploring it if it wasn't something that they saw potential in, right?
It's a speculative investment.
Yeah.
I would not disagree that it's speculative. The things that I asked you this morning, and I ask everybody this. Still nobody can tell me why Bitcoin, besides the fact that you know
it's just the category king.
Yeah, exactly. But beyond that, what it's actually like, if there was a car outside that everybody loved, but it had no tires, eventually people would go to drive it and it wouldn't go anywhere. So eventually when you buy something, it has to be good at what it does. And Bitcoin is the worst cryptocurrency at doing what it does. There's a lot of stuff that's getting breezed over too. Like a couple months back, there was a double pay on a blockchain through Bitcoin. That means a transaction was copied and paid two times out to somebody that's not supposed to happen. That kind of stuff doesn't happen with like Visa,
mm-hmm.
or that's a big deal when that kind of stuff happens.
Right.
You run, that was $1 trillion transaction or a million, multi-million dollar transaction, that could have doubled out to somebody, and then somebody loses millions and millions of dollars. So my point is, eventually the song will stop and people will come to their, hey, this really doesn't have utility to do what we wanted to do. A bunch of people were buying it just so somebody else would buy it for more. There's no technical reason or meaning behind the purchase of Bitcoin besides that people want the price to go higher.
Yeah.
When an asset is bought because of that, there's no reason that it's that it shouldn't go down. Eventually it will.
Mm-hmm.
So I still am 100% hate Bitcoin.
I want to know from you guys, what do you think? Are you bullish or bearish on Bitcoin? If you're watching this on YouTube, drop us a comment down below or text us at 844-447-1555. Bull or bear? Obviously, a lot of people are heavily bullish on Bitcoin.
No, and all those
100K to the end of the year. You know, I'm just along for the ride. I've got money in it, and it is speculative for me. You know, I've been talking probably for the last 6 months of like, I'm going to sell it. And I haven't, and I'm glad I haven't. But at the same time, like you said, there's really absolutely no utility outside of the fact that it does have some type of store.
I think that it'll
in
just
terms
be,
of value.
Yeah, my ultimate where Bitcoin
it's going to be the digital.
It'll be digital gold.
Gold
is around $3,000 an ounce, and I think that's a really appropriate price for Bitcoin. I think it's going to be on. It'll eventually peg itself to gold.
Mm.
That's where it makes sense. So, that's how Bitcoin.
So some people are going to come out filthy rich from this when they sell at the right time.
Yes.
And
a lot of people are going to lose a shitload of money.
Yep.
Just like everybody who bought Bitcoin over the past like 3 weeks, you're at a loss right now. So that asset's too volatile for my clients to pay that much money to get one coin.
It's crazy.
Asset's too volatile.
Yeah.
It pays no yield. I can't do it.
It is crazy. So then you think it's going to hit 100?
I don't know.
This year?
I will say this. It wouldn't surprise me if it did, but there's no reason for it to do so.
Mm. And do you think we, and I know you, I'm trying to back you into a little corner
okay.
here. When is it going to drop? You know, and what would be a determining catalyst for it to drop?
The second that there's any regulation. The majority of people that use Bitcoin use it for illegal transactions.
Still?
Yes.
Silk Road.
Like, yeah. I mean, that's why Janet, every single time she talks about it, the one thing she focuses on
is it being used
for illicit transactions, which is mainly what it's used for. You know, that's why most scams are like, here's my Bitcoin wallet address. I mean, it's not a great thing. It's just
I'm looking at Silk Road Bitcoin.
Like everybody uses
Bitcoins were the only currency allowed on Silk Road, which authorities say was used for criminal transactions, including the sale of drugs, guns, as well as money laundering. The FBI shut down Silk Road in October of 2013. Silk Road's been shut down?
For a while,
yeah.
There's little offshoots of it. You know, you go onto the dark web, you can buy drugs and everything. And most of the stuff is going to be Bitcoin or crypto wallets, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, it's fine. I get why people want to ignore the facts. And trust me, if I owned Bitcoin and I bought it for really cheap, I would feel euphoric as well. You just have to it's got to be quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
You can only tell a lie for so long, right?
And there's just no fundamentals behind it, you know? And I do get really interested to hear people try and argue for the fundamentals of it when there really aren't. I'm just being honest with myself and going, there really is no utility. Fundamentally, it doesn't make any sense to me, but it's doing what it's doing,
correct.
Right? So the root...
That I cannot deny.
The root answer of where is the value here is just the fact that it's a store.
What happens when the stock market becomes on fire again and people just want to go back to stocks? And they're not staying at home all the time.
Right.
And they're not sitting on their ass and they got to work. I mean, a lot of that stuff plays into the price action and people don't want to understand the full story because it goes against their narrative. It will eventually reprice itself aggressively. And I'm talking probably down to on par with what gold is. That would make sense to me. And I do see Bitcoin being a digital...
Q3, Q4, 2022?
I don't know.
I'm not holding you to anything, but
hopefully
I'm holding you to something.
Hopefully tomorrow.
Hope.
Hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be down to zero and I can move on with my life.
You know that ain't happening.
I know it won't.
But, so get us up to speed on what we're seeing here in the markets today.
Yeah, so
you know, we see a lot of red in
the stock
tech
market. If you've been listening to me for the past 3 months, this will be a good example of me going against the grain and then being right. So I was saying since probably last end of November and December, if you go back to podcast, get out of here, you demon. Sorry, the cord was attacking me. But there was going to be a rotation out of technology, and it may have been a good idea to give up some of those earnings. And for us, it was around 3 to 4% that we gave up of upside, to buy into beating up financials, beating up small cap value, beating up mid cap value. And what do you know? Mm-hmm. Those are the areas of the market that are now doing the best. And the reason that they're doing so well is because they were laggard to those stay at home tech stocks that were carrying us through this pandemic. I said it before and I'll say it again, people were eventually going to look past the market being closed and businesses being closed, and businesses were going to start opening back up like they are in almost every single state except magically ours.
Yeah, I know. California is so shut down.
And so when people start doing that, a couple things are going to happen. One, they're going to dump bonds. So bond yields are going to go up like crazy. We can see that happening
right
now.
That's what we're seeing right now.
Yep. Two, there cannot be and will not be a bull run without financials behind it, banks. And banks are going to want interest rates to rise, meaning they can charge more for lending their money, which means they make more money by lending money, which is what banks make money doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all good, a good story for banks. And the stimulus package that happens, a lot of money is there for banks and companies to pay their employees, to give discretionary income, to put that back into the market. So long story short, told you so. Second, that is what we're seeing. We're seeing a huge sell-off and rotation out of technology into financials, small cap value, mid cap value, and even some blue chip growth and mid cap growth stocks as well. So there's a rotation.
Well, explain blue chip for people that don't understand what a blue chip company is.
Whenever you hear blue chip, it's a Wall Street terminology, almost slang for established companies.
Mm-hmm.
Companies that are not maybe going to have the growth metrics of Tesla or maybe even Apple.
They're your steady eddies.
Microsoft, Procter & Gamble,
yep.
GE, stuff like that. What we're going to get into and what I told you mm-hmm. is as these yields get higher on these safe asset classes, as they're sold off, it will eventually lower the yields on these riskier asset classes like stocks. And that will create a battle of where's my best place for my money?
Mm-hmm.
Do I take some risk off the table and put it into this fixed income asset class that's going to pay me a 2.5% to 3.5% coupon on a government, you know, a very safe government bond, or maybe 5% or 6% on a corporate bond? That is going to start being the conversation, I think, towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. And I'm definitely still bearish on fixed income until interest rates kind of moderate themselves and get back to where they should be. But yeah, once that happens, I think that then it's going to be the discussion, okay, what bonds for what duration, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, because what are interest rates going to look like? And how much of my portfolio should I do that? So when we get to that bridge, I'll obviously rear my ugly head a little bit prior to it. But yeah, pretty much big rotation out of tech stocks. And I can think of a lot of people that I talked to from the show that called in that were like, I think you're wrong. I talked to them on the phone. I think you're wrong in Tesla. I think you're wrong on this. I think you're wrong on that. Ha. That's all I got to say.
Well, the Dow skids at least 200 points today. NASDAQ falls 1.4% early on Monday as we're recording this. 10-year Treasury yield jumps to
highest.
Yeah. Its highest in over a year.
Interest rates will be going up. I'm certain of it. When? That's up to the Fed. I'm guessing they're going to start easing off of their quantitative easing, repurchasing of mortgage-backed securities in the billions, hundreds of billions each month. I think they're going to back off on that end of summer-ish time.
I think it all depends on this whole trillion, you know, $2 trillion stimulus plan, though, too.
It does and it doesn't. It really depends on inflation. If we don't get a rise in interest rates, we'll have runaway inflation, and that stimulus package means nothing. So eventually we have to charge money for money. We have to charge interest for money.
That's what I'm saying, though. You know, if they just keep giving it out.
Like, what would the best idea would be is to pass the stimulus and then shortly thereafter raise interest rates.
Yeah.
That would be the best option.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun-to-use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day. You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal, and it shows that they stand behind their product. Now, to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
Get your houses, specifically the ones in Carmichael on Palm Drive sometime around May. but seriously, this market environment we're in is almost at its end. It's very slow. The crock pot has 37 more minutes till it kicks on to warm, guys. We are at the point where there's pretty much no more room for anything spicy. After this stimulus package, don't expect to hear stimulus again.
I sure as hell hope not. Yeah. I mean, because nobody's going to feel any pressure or accountability to make proper and responsible decisions.
Yeah, prudent decisions, yeah.
Until they realize the party's over. This all these safety nets that, you know, people have been, and Biden kicked out forbearance further. He kicked out evictions.
Yeah, but
further.
He also shot down student loans.
Yeah, but they're still putting pressure on him to, yeah. It's not finalized yet. He just put his kind of feelers out there.
Two things that he shot down that are big for their campaign is Black Lives Matter and then student loans that they just did. So there's been no talk on either of those fronts. Two huge things that got them into the White House. Again.
Yeah.
It's so predictable.
He lied. You knew exactly what they were going to do, and they just pandered. And ultimately didn't follow through on their word, which for me, it felt very evident. And I thought it was clear. But
you know, something we've totally missed. Dominion filed a $1.3 billion lawsuit against Mike Lindell today.
Well, let's pull this up.
Yeah. They're suing him for $1.3 billion. I have to bring that up. Sorry, guys.
Dominion, Mike. There we go. Let's see what we can find here.
He's coming. There he is.
Oh, sues my pillow. And it's CEO.
Why do you think they just came out with those towels?
Mike Lindell. $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit against MyPillow CEO. He put out a documentary.
Yes, he did. It was called like...
It was like Michael J. Lindell.
If you went to like his website, yeah. I don't know if we should... Yeah, we're not promoting this.
No, definitely not. But it's out there. Watched it. So again, it felt pretty conspiracy theorist to me and pretty far out there.
The thing I can't understand is the first thing is, why is there Japanese or Asian
like Matrix symbols going down. Yeah, because exactly. He thinks China's all about it, dude. We're in the Chinese Matrix, according to him. You know, this kind of stuff, and again, we're not promoting any of this, but basically, from what I've collected on this documentary, is it's him going hard on Dominion.
Correct.
And going hard on the, you know, the left basically being in bed with Chinese Communist Party. And there's absolute proof, right, that there was election fraud and the theft of America.
It's like he runs a the way that I saw a clip from it, it's like he runs a fake newsroom and interviews people like he has his own news.
Got it.
Yeah.
But
money makes people crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I just, again, I think if this is what it comes back to, this is another headline that I think is really important for all of us, whether you're looking at Michael Lindell as absolutely crazy, you're looking at all the other people that have, you know, said crazy, outlandish things, whether you're, you know, looking at the left and the headlines that they put out. You know, this was put out by New York Times, very big, reputable, right, media company. Don't go down the rabbit hole. Critical thinking, as we're taught to do it, isn't helping in the fight against misinformation. Mm. I just thought that was like crazy to read that in terms of basically they're telling you not to be a critical thinker. And if you are, right, then you're part of the problem of misinformation. You're not falling in line and bowing down and taking everything that comes out of mainstream media as truth. Therefore, you're a part of the ripple effect of misinformation because you're questioning and you're thinking outside of the box and the way they want you to think. I just thought that was like wild that they actually, critical thinking isn't helping. Pretty sure all the people that I know that are really successful, independently wealthy, very balanced in their views too, not extreme left or not extreme right, are just really good critical thinkers.
Correct. And I would think, I would argue that critical thinkers are the ones that move the ball. Like we would just be in the same spot that wherever
right.
we were.
You'd just be treading water forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you would literally just be a bunch of walking zombies, which unfortunately is a good chunk of the world that just takes everything at face value and doesn't ask questions.
It just sounds like somebody saying, my views are challenged and I don't have a correct way to argue them. So I'm just going to cast doubt upon them because fear is easy to sell.
If anything, now more than ever, guys, you need to be a critical thinker.
Correct.
And again, this has nothing to do with if you're on the left, if you're on the right, if you're, it doesn't matter. For me, it's more about what are you trying to accomplish? What's aligned with your core values mm-hmm. and your goals? And, you know, taking every piece of information with discernment and just saying, let me make sure I'm going to double and triple check this, because nowadays with how much, you know, information does get pushed out there mm-hmm. and who has the ability to push it out there, you have to be a critical thinker.
Correct.
Or else you're going to get led down a direction that is, you know, or a path that ultimately isn't aligned with, you know, what you're looking for in a way that's going to serve you in a healthy way.
Yep.
So I just thought that was quite interesting. You know, obviously we got this, Biden $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. Yeah. They are saying it's entering a 3-week dash in Congress. So what, hopefully we're going to have a better idea
mid-March
over the next couple weeks as to what it looks like. It's going to happen. It's just, is it going to be $2 trillion?
I think the amount is probably going to be pretty, I think they're pretty firm on the amount. It's like, it's again, remember when we were talking about the last bill that passed and like the specifics on it, some of the stuff that the money's getting routed to for special interests, that's really what they're figuring out right now. Because although it says $1.9 trillion stimulus, a lot of that's not going to stimulus. A lot of it is people sliding, you know, $30 million.
What do they call it? Pork?
Pork. Special interests. That's what they're being slid in there. So
the final hurdles, it sounds like, are the disagreement among Senate Democrats about a provision phasing in a $15 per hour federal minimum wage.
Yeah, that would make it the base around, that makes it like the legal base in every state.
Which would crush.
And destroy small and medium.
Crush small
mostly
businesses.
Small businesses.
Yep. Yeah. So I know that's something that they're really working through. But ideally, you know, they're working on this deadline before March 14th. So that's what, when they talk about kind of the sprint. But look at this. I mean, 591 page bill. It is so just, much. And when you go and really read through a lot of this stuff, you know, it's a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of BS that's just hid in the fine print. Most importantly, key provisions here, as you can see on the screen, we got $422 billion for stimulus checks to individuals, $246 billion for supplemental unemployment insurance, $350 billion for state and local governments. And mind you, a lot of this stimulus for these state and local governments is going to go to a lot of these, unfortunately, and again, I'm an independent, but the mismanagement and negligence of so many blue states, a lot of that is allocated for their negligence.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
We as the American taxpayer are going to ultimately end up footing that bill.
Yep.
$160 billion to combat virus, including vaccines, testing, and tracing. Isn't it kind of interesting to you guys that where did all of this everyday obsession over COVID and the pandemic and cases it's and gone. Deaths just all of a sudden just dissolved into thin air when Biden got in there?
I think we said that that was going to happen. I'm happy that we're done talking about COVID-19. And then I'm also like, we knew that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was used as a political chip.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was used for. I mean, I literally went to the doctor last week and the nurse comes in and goes, "Do you want a flu shot?" I said, "No, I'm going to want a flu shot." He goes, "Oh yeah, don't worry anyway. Flu totally disappeared last year. We're not even giving out the flu shot anymore." Crazy how that happened, right? It was all COVID-19.
Yeah.
She completely was being sarcastic and she was pretty much telling me like it was a load of bullshit.
Yeah.
So
$130 billion to reopen K-12 schools. I think that's a big one for one, our kids and our youth, as well as for the parents that just have so much pressure and responsibility on their plate with their kids out of school. $7.25 billion for small businesses via the PPP program.
Least amount of money for small businesses.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But ultimately, you know, I just want it to happen, like you said, so we can move beyond it.
Yep,
because there's going to be some dust that finally will be enabled to settle. Once so many people are going, what do you think about this? What do you think about the hospitality industry? You know, what do you think about the commercial real estate product? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And it's really hard to strategize on how to play the game to win when one, the rules aren't finished being written, and two, the safety nets are still there. So people ultimately aren't forced to make decisions or to take actions or to do things in response to knowing what the rules of the game are going to be and who's going to be playing the game. So I think once this stimulus at least gets past us, then it's like, all right, let the shit play out. Yeah. Let's see how, where it all sits and stands, and you know, we can look up. But I don't think any of the pain that people are like, oh my gosh, we just went through one of the craziest things, at least in our lifetime and many people's lifetimes, to ever happen. And yeah, 2020 was crazy, but at the end of the day, like, Uncle Sam came to the rescue and really bailed everybody out.
You gotta have like a...
There was no real pressure
punishment.
And pain. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, like there was no accountability,
accountability
in terms of people having to make decisions based on like, hey, what you decide here in this next action
could result in
right
negative.
If anything, it was like, ah, I'm good. I got money coming in from the government, or I got this, or they're going to take care of that. So I think once all of that is done, then we'll really be able to say there's real accountability for every decision you make. Hey, you can't pay your mortgage. Sorry, forbearances are over. You need to either sell your asset. You need a short sale. Oh, you're going to get foreclosed on. Hey, you can't pay your rent anymore. That's past us now. Okay, well, you're going to get evicted.
Why was it okay in 2008? When it was predatory loans that we evicted people, and then it's not okay. And now when it's just people that can't, I mean, it's just.
So I just say, I don't want to say I'm excited, but I think it's time for the government to quit propping everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And let's let the real, you know, aftermath and effects take place and have certain programs and certain things that are in place to help and support people. But this, you know, just, I think, I don't know how much, and I'd have to look it up. I kind of want to know now. I know at least prior to this potential stimulus, it was over 25% of the dollars, US dollars in circulation were printed in 2020.
It's a lot.
A quarter of all of the money in the US printed in 1 year. I mean, that's staggering. And now we're talking about printing more, right? So there has to be aftermath that ultimately, one, creates opportunity and innovation, right? And three, accountability for people that were negligent and doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. So people will get exposed, opportunity will present itself. And for people like you and I who are leaning in, who are engaged, right? Doesn't mean we're not going to get hit in some capacity, but we're going to make up for it in other areas because we're paying attention, we're critically thinking, we're surrounding ourselves with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you're in the game. Right, you're not just sitting on the sidelines hoping that somebody is going to come to your rescue or trusting that somebody is going to take care of these things for you, right? You know, I've made a post on my Instagram this last week of like, I'm the lone soldier of my 75 hard challenge. I started with like 12 or 13 people. My last buddy dropped off this past weekend. And, you know, it made me through a little bit of reflection. I was like a little disappointed. I was like, damn, man, I wanted like to finish this with, you know, some of the people that I started it with. And at the end of the day, you come into this world and you leave this world as an individual. And mind you, while it's great to have people in your corner, it's great to have people on the journey with you, you got to be comfortable and capable enough to know that at the end of the day, your rise, your fall, right, is solely based on you, your actions, what you're willing to do, what you're willing to not do, right? So just remember that. And yes, surround yourself with the right people, lean into the right environments, get into the right conversations. You'll get exposed to the right opportunities. Keep working on yourself. Keep, what I say, weaponizing yourself. But at the end of the day, like, you got to just trust in the fact that, hey, if I'm going to succeed, if I'm going to win, right, it's going to be based on me. And if it happens to be including other people, awesome. But if not, I'm still just going to be betting on myself.
Yep. That's what you can do. Play for your number on your back.
So with that being said, let's finish up with some statistics. One of my favorite pages for you guys that always like, hey, where do you get a lot of your data? A lot of it, I start with, at least on the retail side of real estate, on NAR Research. On Twitter, they've produced great results, and you can go to their website. But they release reports and all kinds of cool stuff every single week. Existing home sales rose a little over 0.5% in January compared to December of 2020, which is still up nearly 24% over a year ago. That's crazy. Buyers snatch up new listings as quickly as they're available. I thought there was some interesting data in here that you guys might. Home prices, the median existing home price for all housing types in January was $303,000. That's a 14% jump over a year ago. Inventory is down At the end of January, it was 1 million units, which is down over a quarter, 26% from a year ago. That's wild. So obviously a very, very, very stacked inventory level of data in terms of a seller's market. So if you're a buyer, right, very competitive. Days on market remained on the market for about 21 days, which is down from 43 days a year prior. First-time home buyers getting in the game. 33% of sales in January. That's up 32% from a year earlier. So interesting to see that, right? A lot of home buyers are entering, new first-time home buyers entering the market. Cash sales, 19% of transactions in January. That's down, which makes a lot of sense. Some regional breakdown there. Some other stuff, the Realtors Confidence Index. So what are the realtors? I always like to know, is like, what is the psychology of the people on the front lines, in the trenches? What are they seeing? What are they feeling? Really, they reported an increase in home tours from the prior month with an average of 4 in-person home tours. Every home sold had nearly 4 offers. So basically, heavy competitive. Seller's market. Little supply. Homes typically sold within 21 days. Share of first-time home buyers, which we just talked about, 33%. Here's some, you know, just trends-wise. Pandemic continues to impact how people live and work. A higher share of buyers at 88% purchased a property in a suburb, a small town, a rural or resort area. So that is up from 78% 1 year ago. And then 56% of realtors reported they had potential buyers looking for work from home features, such as an extra room, a finished basement. So for me, like as a flipper or somebody that, you know, has rental assets, thinking about some of these trends that whether it's your renters or your buyers, what they want and how that adds value or at least incentivizes demand for your particular asset. Think about those things and work them into your pro formas, work them into your, you know, if you're doing a remodel, your scope of work, right? And see if there's really, hey, if I add this component to the property and I know that's going to increase how much rent I can charge for it or how much I can exit the property for, you know, based on how much it's going to cost and how much it's going to add to your bottom line, you know, make sure that those return on investments make sense. And right now, they do in a lot of different ways. So think about those trends, guys. I think that's really important to kind of just bake in and factor in. We talked about, you know, buyers getting after it. So with that being said, overall, I think there's, you know, a lot of good stuff going on in the housing market this year. I think it's going to remain strong. And those are trends that you want to guys, you know, want to stay in tune with because here's the thing. Things could shift pretty quickly as well based on some of this dust settling this year. So definitely know that we'll be tracking the data for you guys. I wanted to wrap it up with just this interesting piece of news, which was half of Trump voters would abandon the GOP if the former president started his own party, the new poll says. So he kind of, there were some whispers that he potentially said, hey, I'm a party. Yeah, screw the Republican Party. They don't want me anyways. So I'm going to start my own party. Has anybody done that? I know,
I like, guess, like originally to start the original parties.
No, I know, but I think that I forget who it was. I was reading about it. Somebody tried to do this and split away from the Republican Party back in like, I want to say it was like the 60s.
Not in my lifetime to where I can remember. I don't even think in your lifetime.
No, for sure. But I just thought some 46% of Trump voters would leave the GOP party if he started his own party. Half of those polled also said the Republican Party should be more loyal to him. And then the poll results came as Trump prepares to reassert control over GOP. He has potentially had some, he basically surfaced this week, right? And they asked him, like, are you going to run in 2021 or 2024? And he didn't say
yay or nay.
Yay or nay. But I know that Pelosi and the left also presented something on the floor this week that said twice impeached presidents cannot run for re-election, whether they were convicted or not. So they're trying to do whatever they can.
You can't just make up.
But they're doing it, man. That's how they roll.
It won't pass. Just like the last two times they tried to impeach him, it wouldn't pass.
That's how they roll. But it'll be interesting. We'll keep you guys up to date. If you have any questions for us, any topics, any investments, reach out to us, 844-447-1555. If you haven't taken advantage of my free real estate investing course, for those of you who really want to build wealth in real estate, this is a great way to start. It's free. All you have to do is text the word invest to 844-447-1555. You'll get access to that. You want the free financial x-ray, text x-ray to that same number. Be sure to head over to therichlifestore.com for all of you who are your productivity peeps, goal setting peeps. Go check out the planner. We've had a lot of thousands of people purchase and download that planner this year, as well as we got some investor swag in there. We got some cash flow swag in there. For all of you who want a conversation starter, one of the best ways is to wear investor or wear cash flow. And people literally ask me in the store, like, what do you invest in? Or where do you get your cash flow from? It's a great way to actually create some open dialogue with people that have invested in deals with me or have brought me opportunities. So I like to wear my conversation starters. You can check that out. Also, anything that we talk about, millionairemindcast.com. Check out the show description below. Until next week, we will see you guys. Happy investing. Cheers, guys. Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Wealth Building Wednesday. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. If you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you either leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or share this with somebody that you know can gain some insight, some value from it. One of the things that you guys know about Ryan and I is, you know, we definitely won't say we have all the answers, and we definitely won't say we know it all. We just want to bring conversation to the areas, the topics that we believe are really important to bring attention and awareness to help you sharpen your axe, put more tools on your tool belt, weaponize you to make the best decisions that align not only with your financial goals, right, but your lifestyle goals. So if you guys want to take advantage of Ryan's free financial x-ray on your investment portfolio, all you have to do is text the word x-ray to 844-447-1555. Most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases, overcharged, and whether or not their current investment plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish and by when. And this is something Ryan does for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that x-ray, one word, 844-447-1555. Also, if you are someone who is serious about building your wealth and you're already kind of established, but you want to surround yourself with other like-minded, high net worth individuals, be sure to text WealthCamp, one word, to 844-447-1555 to learn more about our intimate five-star experiences with other like-minded business owners and investors, to cross-pollinate, to hear what they're doing, and to have a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. And last, if you want to know more about consulting or getting mentorship directly from me or from Ryan, you can learn more by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.